The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
I remember putting on, you know, like Oklahoma, you never wear pants during the summer. It's so hot. And I remember I put, like, at our school, you had to wear pants at a private school. And I put on my last previous year's pants and they were like, this short above my ankle. I was like, oh, these aren't going to work.
This is not going to work.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Blake Griffin. And I have been Brian's idol for upwards of 13 years now. So enjoy.
Welcome back, one and all. This is Off the Beat, and I am, as always, your Off the Beat host, Brian Baumgartner. My guest today, well, he could absolutely dunk on you because he is one of the best dunkers in NBA history. As you just heard, I have the Blake Griffin on the show with me today. He is a former member of Lob City, the Los Angeles Clippers, as well as a member of the Detroit Pistons, Brooklyn Nets, and Boston Celtics. But as a kid, he could have his pick playing either football, baseball, basketball. He's just an all-around athlete who luckily chose to grace the NBA with his prowess. He is a power forward extraordinaire, an extremely funny guy, and a pretty medium golfer, if I do say so myself. So I guess when I said great athlete, he's a mid athlete at golf. That's fine. He's got plenty of strengths. I have had the good fortune of getting to know Blake over the past decade or so. He taught me how to dunk back in 2011. So I'm glad that you're going to get to know him today. Here he is, Blake Griffin.
Bubble and squeak, I love it. Bubble and squeak, I know. Bubble and squeak, I cook it every moment left over from the night before.
What's up?
Hey, look at you in a little professional booth over there.
I mean, you know, I am nothing if not professional.
That is true. That's what they say.
I mean, that is what they say. Thanks for dressing up for me today. Now, I just sent you a photo. We had this conversation this week. 2011.
Yeah.
2011. Blake and I shot something for a series of specials I was doing on NBC. I will share it on social media. I just sent you that photo. I feel like my form is pretty good. Like, I feel like I'm down there.
Can I just take a look again just to
Yeah, you can
form. Do you want me to be honest or do you want me to just do the thing where I'm like, yeah, it looks good?
No, I want you to be honest.
Okay. The ball, you just got the ball way too close to me.
I think that's the perspective of the camera.
The angle. Yeah, probably just the angle. I don't know what I'm talking about really.
I think that's just the angle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay, then listen, why don't you just join a team for the playoffs and see if they need some help?
I mean, have you considered calling them? Just throw out a line like Tom Brady? Like, I mean, if anyone calls, I'm here.
Yeah, maybe.
Really?
No.
Maybe?
No, I'm finished.
You're done.
I'm done. Done.
All right. Well, we're gonna talk about that. I saw very clever, by the way, on social media that you had to retire to finally get a trophy. I was just with Blake this last weekend in Las Vegas, the Wynn Hotel, for the 8 a.m. Golf Championship Invitational Celebrity
Tournament
featuring Justin Timberlake. Yeah, I think that's the title of it. 8 a.m. golf. They certainly are a lot of fun. I had fun playing with you. How was it playing with me?
It was, man, I'm almost at a loss for words. It was a very surreal, it was a beautiful experience. It really was.
It was
beautiful. I mean, we had so much fun. How it works is like, for people who don't know, you play with a different group, front nine and back nine. So we played the back nine of day one. And yes. Boy, let me tell you, things went off the rails. It was fun, man. So much fun.
It was a lot of fun. And Blake and Chandler Parsons ended up winning the championship. Now, did you come down hard down the stretch? Is that what happened? Because I thought you were out of it at that point. I mean, after playing with you on day one, I thought, yeah, they don't have the staying power. I mean, I don't mean that any way except exactly how it sounded.
Yeah, you just meant it in the worst way possible. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Thanks for clarifying that, actually. Could have gone either way. So we started out the front nine of day two. I mean, we were second place after day one. Day two.
You played well.
We played solid on the first day. Day two, the front nine was rough. Because we got strokes, we had, you know, the bogey was the max you could take for pace of play and all that. There was a couple holes where we stroked, and those were like our bogey holes. So we actually got to put in a par.
Got it.
So that helped. And then the last two holes, par five and the par four, birdie, but birdie for eagle because we stroked. So we ended up like, we were like two under on the front nine, and then we ended up six under on the front nine. So it was kind of like our strokes really helped, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who need strokes, I get it. I understand that that's...
You weren't getting any?
That's how it worked. Here's the thing. So Jimmy Fallon playing with tournament host, I think we can safely say that if we don't have the title right, tournament host, Justin Timberlake, I feel like everyone wanted them to win. Now, is that just a perception thing on my part or no?
Well, so they technically did. You know, they were like minus 32 under, but they weren't going to accept a win. Like they weren't going to win their own thing.
Oh.
Yeah, they won. They beat us by like five strokes.
Okay, I thought so. Now this is starting to make way more sense, cuz I thought they had an insurmountable lead.
Yeah, we wouldn't have. I mean, we wouldn't have sniffed it.
Well, actually then that legitimizes the whole thing to me a little bit more that you guys actually did it. You know, there was, you know, Justin got hurt. There was people hitting shots for him. I mean, you know, there was a whole thing going on. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations.
Thanks,
how did it feel? The moment you were handed that trophy, Blake, how did it feel?
One of the biggest sporting accomplishments of my life.
Yeah, I figured.
It actually did, because we were tied with the guys who were leading, Archie and Adrian Gonzalez. We were tied them going into 18. They were already finished. And we popped on the last hole as well. So we were like, all we got to do is get a ball on the green and two putt, par three, last hole. So, and we both got landed on the green, picked a better putt, two putted for the win, and felt good.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man. It feels like you're saying that but you don't quite mean it, maybe?
No, I'm happy. I had a great time playing with you. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Mm. Who's the slowest golfer that you know?
I know some slow ones.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm up there? Are you about to set up something here?
Well, I wasn't going to set it up. I was just going to say it. I mean, whoever you think is slow, you're slower. Okay. Let's be clear about it. Yeah. I mean, I think so.
All right. Well, I'll work on that.
But you know what? You're really what you punish us with slowness, you give back in fun. So
thanks, there man. You go. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
There you go.
That's the thing I got to work on. It. Nobody's ever told me that. So I'll get faster. Next year, I'm going to play in my sub like an hour 30, maybe. Just have so much
You're just going to run. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. There was a lot of, it's the first tournament I've ever played in that shirts came off around the course. It was, it was fun. It was fun. Let me ask you a question. I want to get back into your beginnings, but I do want to ask you this. Are you the most powerful dunker since Shaq?
I mean, there's like, okay, so let's go through. There's Dominique Wilkins, Sean Kemp, Shaq, Sean obviously, Kemp. But Shaq's was like, I mean, he's so powerful. And I guess early in his career, he got up pretty high, but he was like, true big man, want to hand, you know, just right. As hard as possible. I think Dominique and Sean Kemp both like jumped really high.
Yes.
And they were super powerful. So I don't know. Sean Kemp,
that's a good one. I mean, Barkley? No.
Yeah, but he just didn't no one thinks of Barkley and thinks dunks.
No.
Like he obviously could and he had some good ones, but like, those two, Dominique and Sean Kemp, like those two are like.
Sean Kemp. I didn't think of Sean Kemp. That's a good one there.
Yeah.
I mean, both well before you. Who do you think is the most powerful man in the game right now that you've retired?
Zion. Not even close.
Yeah.
He's like 270, maybe 280, maybe 290. I have no idea, but like, and he's like 6'7". He's not like super tall.
Is he only 6'7"?
Yeah, he's not super tall. But I mean, how high he jumps and the force he creates. I took a charge from him one time. I was in Brooklyn. I took a charge from him and he kind of kicked me in the shin, you know, as a result of it.
Right.
And I had like a lump the size, like half of a golf ball lump
right.
on my shin, which you think like that's just bone. Where's the bump coming from?
Right.
I didn't know. I had it for like a month and a half.
Jeez.
Yeah. In hindsight, probably shouldn't have taken the charge, but you know. Well, you know, Brian, I like to put my body on the line, man. You know?
Did you get the call?
I did.
Okay.
Did the charge.
Yeah, your Lob City days and the power with which you played the game obviously made you incredibly popular because that's just fun to watch. But like you said, I mean, you're putting yourself on the line both as the aggressor and the receiver at times. And so, yeah, I knew I was going to talk to you today, I was wondering if there was anybody else. I mean, you mentioned Zion, which is obviously a great one that you sort of that you feel like plays in that same way that you did.
Yeah, I think like physically it's him. I mean, there's other guys that are pretty physical, but when you like add in like dunks and like just like, you know, Zion just like just pure athleticism will beat you.
How tall are you?
6'9".
Oh, are you?
Yeah. 6'10" with shoes, if you want.
I feel like I'm growing or you're shrinking. Because I feel like we were kind of close, right?
Yeah, maybe we'll let people decide when they look at that picture you sent. But also, it could just be the angle, you know.
It could. No, I think it might have just been the angle. You grew up in Oklahoma. Your brother played. You played with him, mm-hmm. and your dad was a big athlete as well. He ran track right at Northwestern Oklahoma.
He played basketball and football.
Basketball and football.
Yeah. Dual sport college guy.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. He, back then, they wouldn't let freshmen play on the varsity.
Okay.
So he really wanted to play both. And he was like, I just want to play. Like, I don't think he wasn't looking for like, and also back then this would have been, he went to college in 68. So like professional sports, you know, weren't what they are today.
Right.
So I think he was just like, I just want to play both, going to Northwestern, do that. So I was actually home recently. I was going through his old like memorabilia. He had like multiple 40 rebound games.
Really?
At like 6'4". He was a center playing 6'4", at 6'4".
Well, you obviously didn't see him do that. I mean, did he play the same way you played?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Right. I didn't see him play. All I go off of now is like seeing clips like articles like that and like his teammates telling stories and stuff. But I knew I know he could jump out of the gym. I know that for a fact. But that's kind of all I know, sadly.
Sports was a big part of your life growing up. Did you grow tall fast? Were you big early?
I was like always the tallest kid in my grade.
Okay.
You know, always the tallest one on my team. But then like end of my eighth grade year, so like end of May, I was 6'1". And I was, I guess I just turned 14. Yeah. And then beginning of my freshman year, so 2.5 months later, I was like 6'6", six and a half. So I grew like 5.5 inches in 2.5 months and like stretch marks on my shoulders, like stretch marks on my hips. I was like, what is going on?
Like, wow.
I remember putting on, you know, like Oklahoma, you never wear pants during the summer. It's so hot. And I remember I put it like at our school, you had to wear pants at a private school. And I put on my previous year's pants and they were like above my ankle. I was like, oh, these aren't going to work.
This is not going to work.
Yeah.
You played baseball, I heard, mm-hmm. first base. Yeah. Something first else base. We have in common.
Pitch. Oh, you're a first baseman.
I was a first baseman, yeah. I didn't really pitch.
What was your favorite sport?
You know, I was the best at baseball. I probably liked basketball the best growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like now it's, you know, just I'm kind of all in on the football deal. But I did not play. I think it was my dad, he wasn't as interested in football. He was also a doctor. And I think that maybe subconsciously that was a part of it. Like he just sort of didn't steer me in that direction, which is crazy even back then. I mean, didn't know at all what we, you know the potential is now. So it wasn't ever like stated, but I kind of later on, I kind of wondered about that. But you were friends with Sam Bradford.
Yeah. We grew up like not too far from each other, played all kinds of sports growing up. And then obviously went to the University of Oklahoma together too. So it was pretty cool. I've known him forever.
What's harder to be better at, football or basketball?
I mean, I'm so biased. Well, if you're playing quarterback, you're playing like something like that, like insanely hard. I mean, you got so many responsibilities, right? Like I always felt like football was easier for me just because I played like wide receiver. I played tight end. I played like safety, defensive end. Like, so it was just like, and high school is obviously different, but it's just like, just go run and catch or go do this. Whereas basketball, you know, it's like, got to be able to dribble, got to be able to shoot, got to, you know, there's a lot going on. So I think like there's just more things that you have to do if you're just a basketball player. Now, when it comes to, you know, quarterback, like I said, like that's a whole different level. And then football, you got to take into account the absolute beating your body takes every single game. So I don't know what's harder.
You know, I think the thing that, I know, tell me what you think about this. We didn't talk about this weekend, but like there is, and let's just call, this is a terrible, like simplistic way to say it, but let's just say AAU basketball, like what people sort of refer to as AAU basketball, which is run up and down the court, shoot it from every which way and try to do big dunks. But there's something about that Clippers team that I referred to before. And then I would also say, so I don't know if you're a hater of them or not, but it was sort of almost from, well, if you take like the Showtime Lakers, look at you guys, what you were doing at the Clippers, and then like what the Warriors were doing sort of at their peak, which is moving so well in space. And that the idea anyway, that you're making a play, a pass, dribbling to a spot for that, like you're playing chess as opposed to checkers or AAU, like you're making a play for three passes later. And that for me is so much fun to watch. And I feel like you don't see that often, and you certainly don't think about it. But when you see it happen, it's so beautiful. And to me, the most beautiful game that there is.
Yeah, like I mean, it's obviously now way more of a commonplace. I mean, if you look at like the finals, even like the early 2000s, finals game scores would be 85, 89, 90 to 92, whatever it was. And now, I mean, teams are still scoring plus 110. Right. You know what I mean? I can't remember what everybody ended up with last night, but I know Minnesota scored over 115 or 114, maybe. I know, whatever. All these teams are just like the pace of play is so much faster. And everybody's philosophy, mostly because of the Warriors, we were a big transition team with the Clippers. The Warriors were obviously like, get up as many threes as possible, shoot it early, or get to the rim. They want to dunk layups and threes. And now you're starting to see everybody do that. But yeah, like when we came in, that was sort of like the Dirk was like obviously a power forward who was shooting threes. Kevin Love was. And then now, I mean, it's probably hard to find a team with a power forward who's not shooting four threes a game.
Right.
There's definitely outliers, but like you're right though. Getting back to the point of like how teams move the ball, and this is what UConn on the men's college side does so well.
It's fun to watch.
Their offense is like the closest thing. I'm not saying that they are an NBA team, but how they move and their sets, like Hurley does such a good job because their sets are so. You watch the ball go this way. There's an action on the backside. Somebody comes off, but it's not for him. He turns and sets for somebody to rip screen down. Somebody else comes up. And then the guy who initially started moving in the first part somehow comes back around and he gets a shot. And their defense, too, is played a lot like an NBA team's defense. So, like, watching them play in the tournament, in the conference tournament, I was like, no one is going to touch them. And I hate to be the guy at the end after they've won. But I was telling, like, multiple people, like, dude, UConn is so good. Yeah. Their offense and defense are so fun to watch. And that's a lot. It's a lot like how the better NBA teams play.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road. But if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Ready to start your new journey? Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Enjoy Zyn nicotine pouches for 10 days and discover a fresher way to experience nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. Here's how to get started with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Simply pick your strength and varieties online and check out. Once your Zyn nicotine pouches arrive in the mail, enjoy pure nicotine satisfaction at your leisure. After your 10-day trial, let us know what you think. If Zyn isn't for you, no hard feelings. It's that simple. Order online at Zyn.com, that's Zyn.com, to start your new journey today with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
You four-time high school champion, undefeated your freshman year. I mean, Oklahoma Christian, you're playing baseball, you're playing football, three positions in football at least, and you're playing basketball. When for you did you decide basketball was it? Was it this growth spurt, the 6 inches?
No, because I still played I played football my freshman year.
Okay.
And then I came to the team late. Barely made the varsity team. Didn't really play much. Sort of worked my way up. And I got into like the state championship game. And it was like our toughest game of the season. I hadn't played the semifinal game, the game before that. And I was kind of bummed about it. And my dad, we got home. He was like, hey, no, I'm not doing that. Like, wipe that whatever you got on your face, like wipe that attitude off. And then we're down two, which was shocking for us because we just dominated that season. And my brother was like, you know, the best player in the state, and he was just killing. So we're down. He turns to the bench and he goes, Blake. And I was like, me? And I check in the game right before the end of the first half. And first play, for some reason they threw it to me on the block. For some reason, to this day, I've told this to multiple people. I still don't know why. Because my dad was a coach, he's very disciplined. Like, I was just play the way I've been asked to play. Catch on the block, post move, fadeaway jumper, going to the middle, fadeaway jumper. It goes in. I'm already backpedaling back. It goes in, and I remember, like, the crowd. You know, you get to play at it's called the Big House, and the, you know, huge crowd, 10,000 people. And I remember the crowd. And I remember like the chills like going through my body. And I remember being like, oh yeah, this is it. This is what I like. Yeah. And I ended up like came back down. My brother made a move. They came and doubled him. He passed it off to me, laid it in. I think I got another layup. Come out. I ended up going back in the second half and we ended up winning. From then on, I was just like, this is what I'm supposed to do.
That's awesome. I love that. There's a specific moment that you remember.
And there's like other moments too.
Of course.
Like that was like the earliest one where I was like, oh, no, I think I can maybe do this. And I wasn't even thinking NBA. I was just thinking like, I wanted to always be like my brother. You know, he was like the person I was always chasing. And he was already committed to go to Oklahoma at that time. And, you know, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go play college basketball. And then there's moments where you realize, okay, maybe I can go play in the NBA and so on.
You guys won, as I said, four straight state championships. And I hear Oklahoma Christian just this last month won a state title again. Mm-hmm. There's a kid by the name of Luke Gray who plays there who just passed you, Blake, I'm told. Breaking news here from the studio that he just passed you as the all-time leading scorer in school history. I mean, how does that make you feel? I mean, are you proud of the kid or are you?
Yeah,
you
100%.
Look at no, I mean, don't be nice.
Come no, on. I mean, to be honest, man, like holding a high school scoring record for an individual is awesome. It's awesome. Like, I'm super happy for him. But that's not something I would be like, I wish I still had that one. You know what I mean? Like, it's so happy for him. That's a huge, when you're in high school and you're doing that, huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
And he'll go on to, you know, play more basketball and hopefully have a really long career. And it's awesome. I'm super happy for him. It's definitely not one of those things where I'm like, I wish that hadn't happened. I'm still hanging on to that one. That's great for him. He's a great player.
You get recruited by Duke, Kansas, North Carolina, I read, you decide to go follow your brother to Oklahoma. Now, is that because your brother was there?
That was a huge reason. I initially wasn't going to go there. My brother was recruited by Kelvin Sampson. He went and played for Kelvin Sampson for his freshman year. Then he got into some NCAA violations. They hired a young coach at the time named Jeff Capel, played at Duke.
Oh, sure.
He was like one of the youngest, I think he was one of the youngest Division I head coaches at the time.
Yeah.
Came from VCU, and my brother came home one day and he was like, man, I like really love like how we're doing workouts. Like it's more like skill work. It's less like, you know, just same old, you're a big man, do this. You know, everybody was working on their shot, everybody was working on their ball handling. He was like, I really think like, if you want to, like this could be a great place for you. And I developed a relationship with Coach Capel, and still to this day, I have a great relationship with him. And he was just like one of those people that I felt like really believed in me. He had asked me, he had actually the other day when I announced I was retired, he had a really cool post that meant a lot to me. One of our first conversations, he was like, what are your goals? And I was like, I want to play college basketball. I want to, you know, win a championship. And, you know, we'll see what happens after that. And he came and saw me play for the first time. Because at the time, he just got the job and you reach out to recruits in state right away. Came and watched me play for the first time. And I remember the next day after that tournament, he called or he texted me and was like, hey, can you jump on the phone? I was like, yeah, sure. So he calls. And he's like, hey, man, I think you got to change your goals. And I was like, all right, well, it's pretty cool. But like, it's not that confidence was ever like a huge issue for me. Like I knew who I was as a basketball player. And I just wasn't one of those guys who was like, no, I'm going to the NBA. I'm going to do this, this, and this. It was just like, I'd seen so many guys not make it. So many talented guys, not even make it to college.
Right.
My dad being a high school basketball coach for years and years, I always looked up to his high school players. And there were so many guys, I was like, man, he's so good. Didn't make it in college. Or did make it to college, didn't play. Left, whatever. So it was just never a thing with me where I was like, oh, I'm gonna make a career out of this. You know, I was just like, you play,
right?
And whatever happens, happens. And my college coach, amongst my parents and my brother, two of the biggest, you know, or some of the biggest basketball influences on my life.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Were you planning to be one and done?
No.
No.
No. Not at all. I didn't even think that was like, I guess there's a possibility, but I had a chance to be. I was, at the end of the season, I sort of had a decision to make and I had to like announce that I was coming back to college. People thought I was going to leave. It was probably like a lottery, but you know, not top five. I don't think probably maybe like more like 8 to 14 to 16. And I just felt like I wasn't ready. To be honest, I really enjoyed my development in college. I really wanted to come back to play with my brother his senior year. I wanted to try to, I set a list of all these goals and I wanted to come back and I decided to. And I'm so glad I did because I don't think I would have been as ready.
Yeah. Well, you had some injuries that held you back. Your MCL in your left knee, you hurt against Kansas and then your right knee against A&M. You decide to come back. I mean, truly, your sophomore season, your second and final, as it turns out, season at the University of Oklahoma, one of the best college seasons by any player ever.
I appreciate that.
Right. I mean, no, you lead the NCAA in rebounding, lead the Big 12 in scoring, Big 12 records on rebounds, 30 double-doubles in college. I read that. I'm like, is that right? That can't be right. Yeah. You end up being, of course, the number one pick after that. Were you satisfied with what you accomplished in college?
Satisfied? No. I mean, the biggest goal, obviously, is to win a championship. And that, like, truly, it was like it was the one I made a goal list with one of our assistant coaches. And I had it on a poster board and I put it up in my apartment and checked off every single one but Big 12 champion and national champion. That those are like the ones that like being truly, it sounds corny, but being a part of something that's like bigger than you is so rewarding. I mean, you know, I can obviously speak on that having just won a golf tournament. So
I was going to say you and Chandler Parsons. Yeah. Being part of that team.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, you know, it truly is though, like winning a championship would have been awesome. That would have been like, I would have looked back and been like, there's nothing left to do in college. I'm out. Right. You know, and I eventually did leave, but it was time for me to leave. But that would have been like, you know, where I was truly satisfied.
Did you know you were going, number one? Did they tell you? Yeah. They told you.
So I think the Clippers kind of got in trouble because when the draft lottery came out, the guy who was at the draft lottery representing the Clippers, you know, they interview whoever gets the number one pick, and he was like, yep, we're taking Blake Griffin. And I remember I was sitting at ESPN Zone, I was doing like a doc follow thing, you know. They did this thing called the Rookie or something like that. I can't remember what it was called, but I'm sitting there with cameras, and it was just kind of like, whoa, all right. I had been to L.A. once at that point, I think.
Right.
Honestly, it didn't even, like, the Clippers weren't even, like, back then, like, there's no league pass, no social media. Like, I wasn't seeing highlights of the Clippers. They weren't on national TV ever.
Right.
I didn't really know much about the Clippers. Probably the team that I knew the least.
Right. I think the Clippers liked it that way. That nobody... nobody knew about them.
That was their whole thing, you know?
We're gonna sneak up on them when they're not looking.
Here comes Lob City having to force them into the limelight.
I mean, you know, I know you got hurt your first year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your first real season, rookie of the year, and you guys just start going nuts. I mean, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Jamal Crawford, J.J., Chauncey, Mo Williams, Grant Hill,
Lamar Odom,
Steven Jackson, Ryan Hollins. I mean, that's just a few. You truly brought the Clippers out. Well, I mean, does Ballmer buy them if it weren't for you? I don't know. Maybe you should have some sort of percentage.
Yeah, that'd be nice if you could talk to him.
of that sale. How much fun was it? I mean, to be a part of something, and not just a part of something, but a part of transitioning an organization that had, again, either chosen or was sort of obscure or mired in obscurity to such amazing heights. I mean, it had to just be incredible.
Yeah, it was a blast, man. It was my rookie year was one thing, but then when we got Chris Paul, it was like a whole different level, and it was like, you know, we were on the road. You'd go play like a team that wasn't doing that well that year. Attendance was down, sold out. I mean, it was like every night we played, it felt like it was like the, you know, a national TV game, like a big one. And that was like a blast. You know, as a player, like you truly want to play in the best atmosphere, but also you want everybody's best shot. You know, it's hard, man. When everybody's gunning for you, like it's obviously much harder. There's no games where you just walk in, ho hum, do your thing, and get out. You know, when everybody's gunning for you, you got to bring it every night. And it was like a level of focus that like I truly believe helped my entire career, because I just, you know, so early on I knew I had to bring it every night, and it was a blast. We had a really fun, really good run. Obviously, it came short of like a championship, but it was those years were so fun.
Why do you think it did?
Why we came short?
Yeah,
multiple reasons. We had some mental lapses. We also had some physical breakdowns. Like there was multiple times where key guys got hurt, myself included.
Yeah,
and then we had some times where like we should have gone on to the next round, and we, you know, we were up 3-1 against Houston, and I was like, you know, it's hard to talk about still.
Yeah, I was just sorry. I wasn't
really asking the hard hitting questions, man. Didn't know I was gonna cry. But yeah, I mean, there's multiple reasons, you know, and to win a championship, like there's a certain amount of luck that you have to have. Like obviously,
totally,
teams are very, very good, but like, you know, being healthy, like look at the year that Toronto won, beat Golden State. Kevin Durant gets hurt, Klay Thompson gets hurt. Toronto's not sniffing that championship if those two are healthy. And I don't mean any disrespect to Toronto. They earned it.
Right.
And also, guess what? They stayed healthy. So they earned it. But like it takes a lot. It takes everything coming together at the right time.
Are you able now to celebrate what you guys accomplished and how you changed the culture and how the Clippers are seen and defined or is it still more I wish? I mean,
I don't know. Or both. I don't know. I mean, I don't know about, you know, I'm still close with a lot of those guys, and I don't know that people are like truly give us any like type of credit for bringing, you know, because they still had to make decisions. You know, they got guys for CP in the trade, they got guys for me in the trade, and then now they have the team that they have. I don't know if anybody's actually giving us any type of credit because we didn't ultimately win. So, like, you know, it's not really thing. That doesn't mean I'm not proud of what we did, but
right.
I don't know that people are like really giving us credit. I've never heard any like bomb anybody. No one's been like, thank you for what you did. So like, I don't really think about it like that way, you know?
Right. Well, that's really surprising to me. Honestly. I mean, because even, you know, I hadn't been in LA that long, but I had been there long enough to know that we didn't talk about the Clippers. Like there weren't two teams in LA. I don't care what anyone. I mean, there just wasn't.
No.
You know, that totally changed. I mean, to your point, exactly what you're talking about. I mean, you win the Pacific Division title, number one in the West, and you change the culture to like you're at away games and it's sold out. Whereas before you guys, I don't think there were many home sellouts, by the way.
Not at all.
That's just a reality. That's surprising to me. Well, I think you should feel really good about that. I feel like you and the rest of the guys. Yeah. I mean, I think what you said earlier, I mean, you called it a transition team. I don't really know what that means, but you definitely began a style of basketball that, okay, maybe the Warriors took over. They also have like the greatest shooter of all time. I mean, I think you can.
Yeah.
Now call him that.
Yeah. You could call him that like 5 years ago.
Okay, sorry, fine. I was just saying that. But yeah. Now you definitely have to say it.
You know what? I'm just now realizing you got to give it to him. Steph, you're pretty good, dude. You're pretty good. You know, before I was like, I was on the fence.
I don't know. Well, and look, you got to meet me early on. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, about that.
Honestly, man, I'm not even kidding. Like, that's what I was talking about. When I didn't realize what going to play in LA was all about. Like, okay. It just never crossed my mind. But, like, the amount of, like, people that I got to meet and, like, you know, were at games, you know, I was, like, fans of. And it was really cool because it just wasn't, like, a thing that I, like, really thought about until it was happening. I consider myself so lucky to have been able to do the things that I've done. And you know what? Shooting that spot with you. I mean, I told you this. I'm a massive fan of The Office. So it was like, what? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. My recollection is this. You played it very cool. One. Two, I was in this awkward phase where... You know, that was the second year that I had shot this, and I was meeting a bunch of people, and I didn't even start it at the beginning, but eventually I was, because I'm a huge sports fan. I was a big fan of yours from watching even at Oklahoma, and someone was like, you know, you should like get some merch or something, and maybe you were the first one. So this was like year two. I finally was like, well, yeah, like I would never go up to someone and ask them to sign something if I didn't like, but now I'm like working with them. And so I don't know if you remember this. I still have it. I'm going to send and post a picture of this as well. It's down in my office. I was like, oh shit, I should have him sign something. I stole a ball from that gym that it wasn't red and blue, but it had like, I think it was like property of something, but it was definitely a used high school basketball that I was like, I mean, I guess I'll just take this. And I had you sign a basketball and you signed it. And I still have it.
That's hilarious.
And now that you're retired, I'm hoping it's going to be worth a lot more Because now I have this signed stuff.
Probably not. Got to be honest, man. Probably should have got off it earlier. I don't know. You know.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Not only did Zyn create the first ever nicotine pouch, we're still America's number one choice for smoke-free, spit-free nicotine satisfaction. It could be because Zyn is made with only 6 simple ingredients, including naturally derived nicotine salt. Or maybe it's because Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day trial. For anyone worried Zyn won't cut it like traditional tobacco, just ask one of the millions of people who have achieved lasting change. You have lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at Zyn.com/find. That's Zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Congratulations on the retirement.
Thank you.
I mean, that's a long career to have played 13 years in the association, to have had such great success. Why did you stop? Were you just, you were done with the grind of it?
Yeah, I loved every minute of basketball. The last like couple years, you know, as you get older, dude, I've had 9 surgeries in my career.
I mean, that's crazy.
You know, and like really like fought hard to get back from each one and felt like I did for a long time. But then you just start slowing down. And I was at the point where like, you know, dude, you got to take, you're taking like anti-inflammatories, you're like, you know, you're to Thailand. There's just like all the things that go along with basketball. And when you're not playing as much, you have to work, like in practice days, you work twice as hard. Because right. If you're playing a lot of minutes, like you can't go in and work hard on an off day. But if you're not playing that much, you have to stay in like elite shape. And so it just like was a wear on my body. You know, nine months out of the year, 10 months, depending on how far you go in the playoffs, you know, where I was just like, I don't think I can give as much as I really need to, more so mentally than physically. And it was time. And I have a 10-year-old son and a 7-year-old daughter that I think it was just time for me to move on. And I feel super at peace with it. You know, when you retire, a lot of people are like, I hope you're doing okay. And I'm like, no, I'm so happy. So happy. You know, it's one of those things.
Did you watch basketball this year?
I watched the least amount of basketball I ever have, but I kept up with it. I would watch here and there. I would check out scores. I would see how, you know, buddies were doing. There was like clips and games I watched, like if an old coach, like ever was like, hey, let me pick your brain about this. I'd be like, yeah, send me clips. So I'd send clips and I'd, you know, we'd get on the phone and I'd give them whatever advice I could possibly give. But, you know, and just checking in on guys, you know, some guys, you see guys going through a slump and you reach out and stuff like that. But I didn't watch as much basketball as I, you know, normally during the season, dude, on an off night, like I was just at home. I would watch East Coast games, the West Coast games. Like, I'd watch games right. All night. This is definitely different this year.
Is there a team? Are you a fan of blank? Is there a team that you root for?
Yeah. I mean, the guys in Boston, I love those guys, and I hope they win this year. And I think they have a great shot. Denver's going to be really good again. And then other than that, I watch, you know, guys like teammates from before who are on different teams. But there's plenty of guys who I like love. I mean, love watching play. I loved watching Wembanyama play this year. I'm so excited to get one, to not ever have to play against him. Two, just like to see his career. I hope he stays healthy because he just seems like he's just so mentally past everyone his age. And then physically he's past everyone. You know what I mean? Right. 4 years watching him play against Giannis, like the guys who just absolutely bully people, you know, or just longer than, like watching him play against those guys and just like be able to like get up and block a shot or finish these. I think he's going to be, I mean, I'm not saying anything anybody knows, you know, it's not a secret, but I'm so excited to watch him. Other than that, just teammates who I played with before.
Yeah. You may be retired from basketball, but you are not retired. Do you want to be a comedian?
No, I don't want to be like a stand-up comedian. I've done it from time to time. I love comedy so much. I love doing little acting things here and there. It's just like, it was always fun for me to do in the off season. But I like started a production company years ago with my buddy Ryan Khalil. And, you know, we had an Apple TV show come out called Hello Tomorrow. We did a remake to White Man Can't Jump. We got a bunch of other stuff in the pipeline. That's what I really love, like the creative process when it comes to comedy. I love it. Like thinking of the idea, like pitching, you know, do the whole thing from beginning to end. I truly love it. So there's some projects that I'm working on now that I'm really excited about that I will maybe get to do personally now that I'm done. And it'll be in the comedy realm, but no, I don't really consider myself a comedian per se.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned a couple, White Man Can't Jump, remake at Hulu, Hello Tomorrow at Apple TV Plus, working mostly as a producer. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I loved it.
Like, you loved just, it?
Yeah, the creative process. It's crazy because like the first conversation I ever had about doing a White Man Can't Jump reimagined was 2017. I met with Kenya Barris and I was like, it's one of my favorite films. I'd love to see how it looks in this world today. I know people get upset at remakes, but it's like, right. It's kind of fun because that movie came out before the Dream Team had even won. Like basketball is so different. Fashion, so different, but they're two very, very relative things today. And then on top of that, the conversations of race and what it means to be black, what it means to be white and how those two coincide, we're still having those exact same conversations.
Right.
You know, so that was like why I wanted to do that. But anyway, it was 2017 to like when we started shooting May of 2022. I remember I looked at our head of development, our president of development. And I was like, I can't believe we're actually here right now. Like multiple scripts, multiple regime changes, Disney acquiring Fox. It was just insane. So I do love the process.
It is insane. Well, that's good. One, that's another way that we are similar. And this time, I'm not joking. The business of television, the business of entertainment is fascinating to me. I love it as well. You can either get frustrated or you can embrace it and, you know, ride the wave. But it got made. That's good. Mm-hmm. Two, you think of it this way. Your development director got paid for 5 years instead of one. I mean, that's a bonus for them, whoever they are. So there's always a reason to keep pushing. Let's do this in the next cycle.
Yeah.
You've also done performing, working with Funny or Die, Comedy by Blake. You were on Broad City and stuff with Whitney Cummings. Let me tell you this. You really make me laugh. So I'm not the arbiter of all things funny, even though everyone else says that I am. I will tell you I'm not. But you have honestly a very fresh, unique perspective and take, and I hope you continue to work and at some point give me a job, because ultimately that's the only thing that I care about.
Yeah,
is my own ability to further my career. Wow, I said that weird.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. The whole thing that you said was weird too. So like, don't let the word career slow you down. Like, you know, it's just, it wasn't weird, I guess. It was just so immensely selfish, which obviously we've gotten to know each other. I know that's just you. So dude, don't even worry about it, man.
Right. I said career weird, right?
I honestly didn't hear it. It may have been those headphones you got, or the beautiful studio microphone instead of an iPhone.
Well, you know what's unique about your setup here today is that you still have the plug-in as opposed to the AirPods.
Well, hold on. Can I?
No, I'm just.
I was told to wear plug-in headphones. I can pull up the email. You know what? I'll blast it out. Screenshot. Instagram.
Wasn't written by me.
I was told to wear plug-in headphones.
No, that's right. And you did well. You did very, very well.
I've been doing this thing where I try to not use Bluetooth as much.
Good.
So I ordered these for my iPhone. And
do you want to know the truth? I don't use them.
Ever?
No.
Smart.
I don't.
I mean, I think it's smart. Like, I don't use microwaves either.
You don't use microwaves at all?
I mean, I've probably used a microwave in the last like 10 years. I've probably used a microwave once a year, maybe on average, like when there's no other option.
Yeah, I mean, that might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but I'm actually with you. Here's the weird thing. Okay, let's actually, if we could have some doctors write in, this is a serious thing.
Yeah.
I moved into a new house and it has a built-in microwave. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the microwave, there's an island. I have an island in my house, and the microwave is built into the island, which means that the microwave is right at the same level and adjacent to my pelvic region.
Yeah.
Now, this, when I have used it, and I don't use mine very much either, but when I do, I hit the button and kind of step back real quick. It doesn't feel safe. Am I wrong about that? Is this from our childhood? Is this bad? I mean, is this bad intel? Or it just doesn't seem like it's safe, right?
I think you're right. You know, I think you should do is get one of those X-ray things. You just tie it around your waist and then you
know, anytime I'm in the kitchen.
Yeah, anytime you use the microwave, there's that joke about the X-ray technician is like, yeah, it's all safe, no worries, and they run off and hide behind like what could be considered like a bomb, like a
right, and drape themselves. No, it's totally fine.
There's no way microwaves can be healthy. It's like we're zapping our food with microwaves. Obviously, not to get too scientific on you there, Ryan.
I've never really thought about it, but no, that makes sense. Right.
And then we're eating that food. Like, obviously, like not only like what you're saying, where you step back, but like smart, by the way, but like, then we're also just eating that food. Like there's like, it can't be right. Right.
I'm with you. Right.
Maybe we start a separate podcast. No microwave podcast.
I mean, I don't know. Is the microwave industry a powerful industry that I don't want to anger? I don't know. Are they?
I feel like everybody that makes microwaves also makes like ovens, or they make like toaster ovens, or like,
and the
other
ovens
appliances
are probably more expensive. Yeah, so they probably would rather sell ovens. So in a way, we would be helping them.
Yeah, maybe we get big microwave to back us, put in a little money.
Big,
you know,
big microwave.
Big wave. The big wave companies.
Big wave. I don't know. It doesn't seem safe. But yeah, I don't. To your point, I don't know what kind of energy it is, but shoving energy that is transmitting to another device inside my head, just intellectually, it just doesn't seem like it's a great thing to do.
does not, does it? I agree.
Yeah.
We're on to something.
We're on something. One or the other.
Yeah, let's take out that two, yeah.
Listen, good luck. Again, you have my number now. So when you have something interesting project-wise, you give me a call. All right. Yeah. It's got to be interesting, though.
Okay. Well,
other than that, we will play some really slow golf. And now I'll be playing with a champion.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome. And that, and you know, I'm going to work on that slow thing. No one told me, but so thanks for telling me, you know.
I feel like everyone told you. I feel like it became.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I feel like it was sort of commonly said. I had to put Blake on a shot clock.
Oh, that's right. You were doing the shot clock thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Counting down.
Well, you know what? Maybe you should play a little slower next year and you'll win. Sorry, man. I don't know. I was just lashing out. It felt like you came at me. I feel like.
No, it is a fair point. Are you a fan of the play-in?
Yes.
It generates interest.
Yeah.
It keeps more people involved.
Exactly. And it does kind of suck. Like, who was it? New Orleans was, I think they were the sixth seed, and then they lost maybe two games, and they went and had to play the play-in. Luckily, they still got in, but it does suck for those teams that, like, if it's jumbled at 5-6 and you have a couple bad games, or you have just, like, two minor injuries, the guys need to take a couple of games off. Like, your season could be over instead of, you know, getting a favorable matchup in the playoffs. That sucks, but it does generate a lot of interest, and also the in-season tournament, kind of the same way. Like, more people were watching those games than usually watch games during that point of the season.
During that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minnesota, for real? Do they have a shot?
At winning?
Yeah.
I think they're for real, but I would say Denver's, like, the favorite in my favorite in the West, and Boston's favorite. Like, I don't see them beating Denver or Boston, but could happen for sure. I mean, Rudy's playing unbelievable defense. Anthony Edwards is an absolute stud. And then their pieces around are so solid that, yeah, I mean, for sure, could happen. Again, you never know. They get mashed up with Denver and somebody goes down. You know, knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't happen, but they could get there.
Right. I do want to point out that you picked the two consensus favorites.
I mean, well, guess what? I also picked UConn before they won. So what's that mean? Yeah. Scott, there's a reason they're favorite. They're the best team. also, Denver's other than two seed. Oklahoma City. Yeah, I didn't pick Oklahoma City. They're the one seed.
Are you an Oklahoma City fan? Because you're from Oklahoma?
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? The first year that Oklahoma City got a team was my last year in college. So I didn't grow up with them.
Right.
So it's kind of weird where, like, I basically got into the league as they were starting out. So it was like, I obviously would have been if they were there prior, but I just was never like a fan. But yeah, I want to see them do well. I still love Oklahoma City.
Well, NBA playoff basketball is very exciting. My TV is on every night. I wish you all the best. Good luck. Yeah, good luck with everything. Media. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
And let's get the golf game tuned up, and then we'll play again.
Let's do it, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, buddy. Blake, great to have you on, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to see you soon, I hope. And thanks for all your insight into the NBA playoffs. I will be watching, mostly to see if the Celtics and Nuggets do play in the finals. Thanks for listening, listeners. Come back next week right here, same place, same channel, for another listening adventure. It's going to be fun. It really will be. Blake won't be here, so it'll be great. Until then, everybody have a fantastic week. Off the Beat is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Baumgartner, alongside our executive producer, Ling Lee. Our senior producer is Diego Tapia. Our producers are Liz Hayes, Hannah Harris, and Emily Carr. Our talent producer is Ryan Papa Zachary, and our intern is Ali Amir Sahin. Our theme song, Bubble and Squeak,
performed by the one and only Creed Bratton.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.